Discipline is motivated out of love, and it focuses on future character. Whereas punishment is motivated out of anger, and it focuses on a past misdeed. God disciplines his children. Did you know that God tests you? Because he loves our future, and he knows the plans that he has for us. As Jeremiah 29:11 says, plans not for your calamity, but for your welfare, that you might have a future and a hope.
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. Yesterday, Pastor Wayne shared his story of how his horse got its feet tangled in a wire fence. The horse became so frantic that Wayne had to cover its face with a t-shirt to calm it down as they cut the wire loose. When we left off, Pastor Wayne invited his son, Aaron, to come up and share a few words. Let's pick it up right there. Here is Pastor Wayne.
I'm going to have my son Aaron come up and share a little bit about this, about a God who tears down. Now, I've known this boy for a long time. He was born very close to his mother. And when he was young, he was very cute. Yeah, and but something happens along the way. He gets uglier and uglier and uglier. But he's down here at Cub Scouts, and there he is at our church. And then he grew up, and he just the ugliest thing. I don't know who he resembles, but that poor thing, we need to pray for him. Would you welcome Pastor Aaron as he comes up?
Well, let's say thank you to this ugly guy over here. These people, when they come up to me, they say, "Man, you look just like your father." That's where I get it from. But today, I want to share with you a few instances where I've had a shirt around my eyes. And, you know, I think about faith and walking with Jesus. To me, it's kind of like springtime. How many of you love springtime? I love springtime. And being from Hawaii, you know, it's like going from winter to spring is like going from VHS to 4K high def. I love it. But walking with Jesus is like springtime, because when you're walking with him, especially when you come to know him as Lord and Savior, he starts to, you know, just like nurture areas of our life, and things start to bloom, whether it's our faith or when we understand more about marriage or relationship. It's wonderful. I love that about walking with Christ. But the other thing about springtime is not just the beautiful things that bloom. Also, you see a lot of the weeds show up in the springtime. But I think about that. That's just like life, where God is like a gardener, or the, you know, a good shepherd, where he sees the good as well as the not so good. And when God shows up in our life, he may highlight certain things that he'll need to weed out of our life. I remember one of the first times in my life when that happened to me. I was about 6 years old, and My mom, I went to the grocery store with my mom, and she had gone around the corner, and as she went out around the corner, I looked down and I noticed there was this toy. It's like a Transformer toy, and I said, "Man, that's looking pretty good," and I wanted it. And I was looking around, and mom wasn't there, and so the first time I ever stole something, I grabbed that and put it into my pocket, and man, you know, I was like feeling a little nervous about it, and mom came back, and you know, she'd look me in the eye, I'd look away, you know, one of those. And so we checked out, and we went towards the car. And now my mom, if you know anything about her, she's like an angel, like she's like pure, you know. And if you know anything about her, she is like a sin radar. Anyone have moms like that? Like, you can't get away with anything. And she knew sin was in the camp, and it's like the force was off. And so she comes to me and she says, "Aaron, do you want to tell me what you did, or do you want me to tell you what you did?" I couldn't get away with anything. And so I started crying, and I took this thing out, and she marched me right back into the store, and she found anyone. You know, I thought it was the general manager, but it was just a janitor, I found out later. But she said, "Aaron, you need to tell him what you did." And, "Oh, I stole this thing." And, you know, the guy got all dramatic. He said, "Well, we usually persecute people like you." And You know, and we may need to press charges, but this time, you know, if you promise, we'll let you go. I promise. Well, I didn't learn my lesson because maybe about 5 years later, some of my friends, they were going to the mall and they were stealing some stuff. And the Bible says that bad company corrupts good morals. And so I had this tension and that I was facing, and I had taken light the discipline of the Lord, as it says in Hebrews. And so I threw my lot in with these guys and we took some stuff. And usually my mom is the one that picks us up and drops us off and is going to the mall. But this day, my dad shows up. And I thought, now something is off. The force is off. And as my dad comes to pick us up, he starts driving us home. And we go up this road that we always usually go up to go home. And to the right is the police station. To the left is the way home. And I thought to him, I had this funny feeling like if we go right, I'm pretty sure I'm going to die. If we go left, I'm home free. Well, lo and behold, we go right. Dad takes us to the police station parking lot and he says, boys, get out of the car. He marches us right up to the where the doors to go into the police station, has us sit down on the bench, and he starts talking to us and he says, let me see what you got. We pulled out all the stuff that we stole, and he did a 3-point sermon on those who steal will not enter the kingdom of God. And we're just crying and we're like, oh Lord. And so this is what he had us do. He had us write a letter of apology, and we had to add up all the stuff that we stole to raise enough money to take it to the manager, apologize with a letter, and pay for what we had stolen. Now, I go to Liberty House where I took my stuff. Remember Liberty House back in the day? And I'm giving the letter, and the lady said, well, I think we need to prosecute. I think we're going to press charges. And my dad said, boys, wait outside. So we went outside, and I don't know what my dad said that day. But the lady came out and said, okay, you're free to go. I think Dad got me out of jail that day. But I tell you what, I never stole again. The only thing I ever stole after that was my wife's heart. Right now. Lord have mercy. But you know, I think about that. I'm glad that we have parents that love us and coaches and mentors and people that can tutor us. But I think about life. Life is like, you know, like on the box of something that you have to put together. It's like some assembly required. You know, as parents, God gives us kids, and there's some assembly required. And along the way, we'll pick up bad habits and we'll pick up things that are not of God. And my prayer is that we would be godly parents to help discipline and train our children, as the Bible says, train up a child as in the ways of God so they may not depart from the path. And I think about the discipline of God. When God tears something away, it's never because he hates us or not because he wants to punish us. It's because he loves us more than we know. And it's like if our kid is walking off a cliff, we're going to say, don't go that way. And they're getting closer. Don't go that way. And after a while, we're going to be yelling. And we might even tackle them before they jump off the cliff. Because why? We hate them? No, it's because we love them. And that's who Jesus is. The Bible says that no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful later on. However, for those who have been trained by it, it produces the peaceful fruit of righteousness. You might be going through a painful time in your life. God might be weeding out some things, but know that he loves you, and it's never because he hates you. It's because he doesn't want to see us fall off a cliff. And if he needs to, he may just tackle us, but it's because of the grace of God. Amen. 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 Well, Dad's going to come up and share about a God who builds up. Let's welcome Dad.
Well, Aaron, I hope you learned your lesson of what took place at the police station. Was it 2 years ago? And so hopefully he's learned since then. Yeah. And by the way, you didn't only steal your wife's heart. You steal my shirts. You steal my shirt, my shoes. And you wear all those things. But we're going to take a look at a couple of scriptures out of the book of Hebrews. And it's going to come up on the screen. Aaron alluded to them. And let's read it together. Hebrews 12:6. Would you put that up? Let's read it. Go. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline. And do not lose heart when he rebukes you. Because the Lord disciplines the one he loves. And he chastens everyone he accepts as his son. Is it fun? No. Let's read the next one. It comes right after it. Go. Oh, wait a second. Go. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but later on, however, for those who have been trained by it, it produces the peaceful fruit of righteousness. God is a God who tears down because he's building up. And even when he's tearing down, he's building up. He's got a plan in mind, and he's removing some things. He might reapportion some things, but he's in control. So you get to trust him. Always remember, faith is living in advance what you will only understand in reverse. Faith is living in advance what you'll only understand in reverse. And it's not the punishment of the Lord. It says the discipline of the Lord. When we talk about the fact that God works on us both pushing down and building up, this is called the discipline. This is called the edification or the building up. The discipline, and they both go together. You cannot have one without the other. You've got to have both. And we love the building up. Oh, God, bless me more, bless me more. But when it comes time for correction, we don't like that. But there are sometimes we've got to unlearn some things. And so he disciplines us. Now, here's a difference. Parents, we don't get to punish our children, but you better discipline your children. Here's the difference. Punishment is something that's motivated out of anger, and it focuses on a past misdeed. It's motivated out of anger. You did what? And focuses on a past misdeed. I don't want you to ever do that again. You can't do that. Look what you did. It's motivated out of anger, focuses on a past misdeed. Discipline, however, is motivated out of love, and it focuses on future character building. Discipline is motivated out of love, and it focuses on future character building. Son, I've got to do this to you because of what I believe that if I don't, what'll happen later on? I remember times disciplining my children. One of the things I'd say is, you can't speak that way to your teacher or to an elder or to someone else, because if you do, and if I let you do this, your future is going to be stained because you think you can disrespect anybody because it was endorsed and it was tacitly given permission in your past. I cannot do that. It will ruin your future if I don't deal with it now. Discipline is motivated out of love, and it focuses on future character, whereas punishment is motivated out of anger, and it focuses on a past misdeed. God disciplines his children because he loves our future, and he knows the plans that he has for us, as Jeremiah 29:11 says, plans not for your calamity, but for your welfare, that you might have a future and a hope. So there's times that God is going to be messing with you, testing you. Did you know that God tests you? Yeah, but there's a big difference here between testing and tempting. God doesn't tempt you. He'll test you. And when people say, why is God tempting me? The Bible says God does not tempt anyone. The enemy will, Satan will, the devil does, but not God. But he tests us. There's a difference. Although it seems to be the same. You see, if I'm going to test this podium. A couple of weeks ago when I leaned on it, it really went down. And one of the men was so kind to come and said, we need to put some bigger lag screws in this or whatever. And he kind of fortified it and reinforced it a little bit. But if I'm going to test this podium as to whether or not it will hold the weight of this, whatever I put on it, I'm going to test it. And that's the Greek word dokimon, which means to document something. It's certified. So I'm going to twist it a little bit. I'm going to push on it. I'm going to force it just a bit. But my goal is to see where it needs reinforcing. That's a testing. And we find in James chapter 1, it says, consider it pure joy, my brethren, when you're encountering various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces strength or endurance. And so God will test you, and he'll put some pressure on your marriage, pressure on your faith, pressure on a relationship. He'll test it. He'll press on it and to see where you are with that. Whew, boy, I tell you, that's not a fun thing when he does that, but it's because of love. And when we found that this had some squeaks and some more than necessary flexibility in a certain place, then it was reinforced. Tempting seems like the same thing. If I wanted to tempt, or the devil's tempting you, he's going to press, he's going to push. And his goal, though, is not to reinforce when he finds a weakness. His goal is to what? To destroy when he finds a weakness. For the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And so it seems like, God, why are you doing this? God is saying, because I love you. And when you're in the hands of the potter, it's always to build up. It's never to leave torn down. But I will tear down so that I can remove some things in order to build you up. Stay with me. That's why James 1 says this. Consider it pure joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Watch this. And let endurance have its final result. Stick with it. Stay with it. Stay the course. Let endurance have its perfect result so that you might be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. I love that. Because there's times that we want to bail out. And God is saying, don't. You're in the hands of the potter. You'll be fine. And if you'll do it, if you'll listen to me, I'll make it right. I promise. Another scripture that we come to a conclusion with is here. And it's going to come up in Hebrews 12. And would you read it with me? Go. Therefore, strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble, and make straight paths for your feet, so that the limb which is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather so that this that is weak will not be broken, but reinforced. I'm going to put pressure on you. I'm going to press you down at times. And if you're new in Christ, the more we know the ways of God, the better, because then we won't compete or challenge, but we will cooperate to say, Lord, I understand this isn't the best thing right now. Doesn't feel good, but I know it's a part of me being built up. You're switching me back. I'm not losing time. I'm gaining a future. I'm not being pulled away. I'm really being pulled unto. And so, Lord, I trust you completely. And there's times God's going to have to do some stuff that pinches a little bit. But watch, his goal is to heal. Let me finish with this illustration of how God builds up, even though we think he's tearing down and we can't see what he's doing. When I was in high school, I was same size I am now, 4'1". And I actually played on our basketball team. So I was a guard, a point guard. But I played on the JV team. I was looking for a 5 foot and under league. They didn't have any. So I had to play in our high school. But it was a small high school down south called Eagle Point High School outside of Medford. And I lived in Trail, Oregon. Now, Trail, Oregon is a teeny little town up on the Rogue River. I mean, Trail is so small that the sign to go into the little town of Trail, on one side it says, welcome to Trail. On the other side of the sign, it says goodbye. And so it's very, very small. Well, I wanted to one day feel the feeling, the exuberance of being able to dunk a basketball. Because there were some tall guys that could dunk, and I thought, man, I want to feel that, how it feels. And so there was a side basket like we have here that came out, and bleachers came out to the side of it. And I thought, you know what, if I climb up on the bleachers and run out, I could dunk the ball and know what it feels like to dunk a basketball. So I thought, I'm going to do that. So after practice, I pulled some bleachers out and went up on the fourth or fifth rung. Okay, the seventh rung. And then I ran out, and the basket's about 8 feet past the bleachers. And so I ran as fast as I could and got that ball up in the air and dunked that baby. Oh, man, it was so good. And I even grabbed onto the rim like those pros do. And but when I swung, my fingers let loose, and I came down and broke my leg. Bam! I felt it. I heard it. It was just this crack. Now, the problem was, is Eagle Point is about 30 miles from trail, and I had to catch the after-school activities bus, and there's only a little teeny clinic in trail that's closed on the weekends, and this is Friday. And so because I'm after school, by the time I get to trail, the clinic's closed. There's nobody there. So I have to sit and wait for the clinic to open up again on Monday, and my leg is broken. Monday was a holiday, so they don't work on Monday holidays. And so I had to wait till Tuesday. Now, by the time Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, my leg was like a balloon, and the bone began to calcify in the wrong position. So by the time I went to the doctor, he took a x-ray, and he said, yeah, you broke it, a good one. And he said, I'll put a cast on it. I said, good, good, just put a cast on it. He said, well, I can't until I set your leg because it's off. And I said, yeah, that's fine. I said, is that going to hurt? He said, oh, it'll pinch a little. Doctors lie. They lie. So he got my mind off of it. And he said, yeah, oh, nice boots. Where'd you buy these boots? You like boots? Yeah, I like boots. All of a sudden, he grabbed my leg and whack! I screamed. I went straight to the ceiling. And by the time I peeled myself off of the ceiling, it was back in place. And I was crying. I said, why did you do that? Why? Why didn't you just put a cast on it? It was doing fine before you messed with it. And he said, Wayne, you see, it would have healed. In fact, it was already starting to calcify. I saw it in the x-ray. But I had to break that calcification off and set it right. Because you see, if it's misaligned and you let it heal, you will never have full use of that leg. It'll always be crooked. But before the healing really takes place and is optimized, I've got to make sure it's aligned correctly. And now the healing takes place. And now you can use it fully in the future. You know, sometimes I come to Christ and I've got maybe some thoughts that I've babied for a long time. It's even calcified. And I can get along with it. But we ask God for healing, and sometimes He's going to look at you and smile and say, this will pinch a little. That's why the Bible says often the discipline of the Lord is not joyful but painful. But those who have been trained by it, afterward it yields a peaceful fruit of righteousness. It'll pinch a little. But if you'll let me do this, because tearing down is a part of building up. And understand the discipline of the Lord. And if you're new to Christ, don't be afraid of the disciplines of the Lord. There'll be times, yep, you're going to shed some tears. You're going to wonder why. And you'll be like, I'm blinded. And what's going on? God's saying, it's okay. If you trust me, let me untangle this mess for you. And I'll speak to you so that you can cooperate. But before that, I'm going to align some things. It's okay. I'm going to align some relationships, maybe some thoughts, maybe some habits, maybe some lifestyles. There's some things you've got to let go, other things you get to take up, some things you need to forget. Because often we forget what we should remember, and we remember what we should forget. And God is saying, you got to let that go. You got to forgive there. But what are you doing? I'm aligning you to my word so my word can strengthen you. But you can't serve Christ crooked. You can't come into Christ and say, well, I'm just going to be like the world. No, I'm going to align you a little bit. Don't be afraid of that, because the future ahead is bright. And you've got a shepherd that loves you. God understands, because He's got a staff and a rod. And He loves our future, maybe more than we do. He's the potter. We're the clay. Trust Him and watch Him do great things in your life. You watch. You wait. You'll see.
You have just heard the conclusion of a message entitled Some Assembly Required by Dr. Wayne Crudero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. And our special thanks to Aaron Crudero, Pastor Wayne's son, for sharing in today's message. Until next time, remember what Pastor Wayne said.
And so it seems like, God, why are you doing this? God is saying, because I love you. And when you're in the hands of the potter, it's always to build up. It's never to leave torn down.
Thank you for listening to Words of New Hope. We hope today's message has encouraged you, especially if you're going through a time of disappointment. We all experience it from time to time. But as Pastor Wayne said, God often uses disappointment to precede a divine appointment with Him. Be expecting your divine appointment to come soon. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne and all the family at New Hope, God bless you and have a great day in the Lord.